The town of Gallipoli lies far down the map of Italy, just inside the heel and across from the Otranto. Nearly 3 years ago, the inmates of its little Carmel were in debt and utter starvation, at times substituting for their dinner a visit to the chapel. Several months previously, the life of Sister Therese had been publicly read in the community, and now the prioress decided to make a special appeal for 3 days to the Blessed Trinity through the intercession of the little flower of Jesus. The Triduum ended on January 16, 1910. On that day, Sister Therese kept her promise of doing good upon earth and of coming down by bringing in person 500 francs to the distressed prioress. But this was only the beginning of a series of prodigies destined to throw into relief a seemingly chance remark of the little flower to Mother Mary Carmela on that occasion. My way is a sure one. The following letters from Gallipoli and elsewhere tell their own story. It must be premised that a most strict canonical investigation has been made of the facts here related, and that the distinguished Jesuit who presided over the first tribunal, after having emphatically attributed the whole affair to diabolical intervention, was converted, by the overwhelming evidence, into an ardent apostle of Sister Therese, of the Child Jesus, and of the Holy Face. Letter from Mary Mother Carmela, Prioress of the Carmel of Gallipoli, to Mother Agnes of Jesus, Prioress of the Carmel of Lisieux. Dear Reverend Mother, I send you the account of the miracle wrought on our behalf, but a long document signed by the whole community, by a commission of priests, and by the bishop himself has been forwarded to Rome. On the night of the 16th of January, 1910, I was in great suffering, and was also worried about certain grave difficulties. 3 o'clock had been struck, and almost worn out, I raised myself somewhat in bed in order to breathe more easily. Then I fell asleep, and in a dream, it would seem to me, I felt a hand touch me, draw the bedclothes about my face, and cover me up tenderly. I thought one of the sisters had come in to perform this act of charity, and, without opening my eyes, I said to her, "Leave me, for I am all in perspiration, and this movement gives me too much air." And then a sweet voice, which I had never heard before, replied, "No, it is a good act that I am doing. Listen, the good God makes use of his inhabitants of heaven, as well as of those of earth, in order to assist his servants. Here are 500 francs, with which you will pay the debt of your community." Taking them from her hand, I answered that the debt amounted to only 300 francs. "Well," she replied, "the rest will be over and above. But as you may not keep this money in your cell, come with me." The night was bitterly cold. How shall I rise? I thought, all bathed in perspiration as I am. The heavenly apparition, however, divined my thoughts, adding with a smile, "Bilocation will help us." Suddenly, I found myself outside my cell, in the company of a young Carmelite nun, whose veil and robes shone with a brightness of paradise that served to light up our way. She led me downstairs to the turn-room or parlor, and made me open a wooden box wherein was enclosed the bill which had to be paid. There she deposited the 500 francs. I looked at her lovingly, and threw myself at her feet, crying out, "Oh, my holy mother!" But she raised me up, and caressing me affectionately, replied, "No, I am not our holy mother. I am the servant of God, Sister Therese of Lisieux. Today in heaven and on earth we keep the feast of the holy name of Jesus." Quivering with emotion, not knowing what to say, I cried out again, and the words came from my heart more than from my lips, "Oh, my mother!" But I could say no more. Then the angelic sister, putting her hand on my veil as if to adjust it, gave me a sisterly embrace, and slowly withdrew. "Wait," I called to her, "you might mistake your way." "No, no," she answered with a heavenly smile, "my way is sure, and I am not mistaken in following it." I awoke, and in spite of my exhaustion, I rose, went to choir, and in due course received Holy Communion. The sisters noticed that something was wrong, and wished to send for the doctor. In the sacristy, the two sacristans insisted strongly on knowing what was the matter with me. They also desired that I should go to bed and have the doctor summoned. To prevent this, I explained that I was deeply moved by the impression of a dream, and in all simplicity I told them my story. Both of them urged me to examine the box. Finally, as they insisted, I did as they desired. I went to the parlor, opened the box, and there I found in reality the miraculous sum of 500 francs. The rest, dear mother, I leave to your own imagination. Overwhelmed by such goodness, we are one and all praying that our great protectress, little sister Therese, may be beatified. Letter from Mother Mary Carmela to Mother Agnes of Jesus. Dear Reverend Mother, it cost me very much to confide to you what the dear little sister Therese has done for us since the month of February, but I can no longer resist your prayers, or my little saint who obliges me to make manifest the prodigies which God has wrought through her. At the end of the month of January, in spite of the care with which the sisters who have charge of the income and expenditure kept their books, we found a surplus of 25 lire. This we were unable to explain unless on the supposition that Sister Therese had slipped it into our cash-box. The bishop, therefore, desired me to place apart from the money of the community the 2 blank notes that still remained of the 10 which heaven had sent. At the end of February, March, and April, the same strange thing happened, but the amount varied. In the month of May I saw my little Therese again. She spoke to me at first upon spiritual matters, and then she added, "To prove to you that it was indeed I who brought you the surplus of money that has been noticed in the settling of your accounts, you will find in the cash-box a banknote of 50 francs. With God, to say is to do. And now, my good mother, must I confess it to my shame? This time again I did not dare to examine the box, but the good God, who wished me to verify this new marvel, permitted that on one of the following days 2 of the sisters should come and ask, out of devotion, to be allowed to see the 2 miraculous banknotes. Mother, what shall I say? You may understand our emotion. Instead of 2 notes, there were 3. In the month of June, we found 50 lire in the usual way. During the night between the 15th and the 16th of July, I saw my beloved Therese once more. She promised to bring me, before long, 100 lire. Then she wished me a happy feast and offered me a banknote of 5 lire. As I did not dare accept it, she placed it at the foot of the little statue of the Sacred Heart in our cell, and shortly after, when the bell had rung, I found the note where I had seen her put it. Some days later, the bishop, in the course of the conversation, told us he had lost a banknote of 100 lire when making up his diocesan accounts, and he expressed the hope that Sister Therese would bring it to us. It came on the 6th of August, the eve of the feast of St. Catchian, whose name the bishop bears. Again, I saw my dearly loved Therese. In her hand she held a banknote of 100 lire, and she said, "The power of God takes away or gives with the same ease in matters temporal as in matters spiritual." Having found the note of 100 lire in the box, I hastened to send it to the bishop with the good wishes of the community. He, however, returned it to us. Since then she has brought us no more money, for our distress has become known through these marvels, and alms have been sent to our Carmel. But on September 5th, the eve of the exhumation of her remains, I saw her again. After having spoken to me, as she always did, on the spiritual welfare of the community, she announced that they would find only her bones in the grave. Next, she made me understand something of the prodigies she will accomplish in the future. "Count it for certain, my dear mother, that her blessed remains will work great miracles and will be as mighty weapons against the devil." Sister Therese appeared to me generally at dawn and when I was engaged in prayer. Her countenance was radiant and extremely beautiful. Her garments glittered with a light as of transparent silver. Her words had the sweetness of a heavenly melody. She revealed to me the great, though hidden, crosses she bore so heroically upon earth. Little Therese has indeed suffered deeply. What more shall I say? It is enough, my dear mother, that you know we feel near us the spirit of your angelic child. All the sisters affirm, with tender affection, that, besides the temporal favors granted to the community, each one has been the recipient of very great and personal graces. The sequel. A year passed, and on the anniversary of the first apparition at Gallipoli, the little flower herself gave an explanation of her conduct. The reader will remember her words to her novices during her lifetime. Have faith in all I have told you and the confidence we should have in God. Have faith in the way I have taught you of going to Him through self-abandonment and love. I shall come back and shall tell you whether I am mistaken or if my way is sure. Until then, follow it faithfully. Monsignor Gian Attisio, Bishop of Nardo, near Gallipoli, was not aware she had spoken thus. Yet he had always regretted that more stress had not been laid upon the spiritual meaning of her words to Mother M. Carmela, "My way is a sure one." To his mind, these clearly referred to the path of self-surrender and of trust in God so warmly recommended by the saint. Haunted by this idea, Monsignor Gianattesio determined to celebrate the anniversary of their utterance by presenting the Carmel with a banknote of 500 lire which someone had given him. He enclosed the note accordingly in an open envelope, together with his visiting card, having first written on the latter, "In memoriam. My way is a sure one. I am not mistaken. Sister Therese of the Child Jesus to Sister Mary Carmela, Gallipoli, January 16, 1910. Pray for me daily that God may have mercy on me." This envelope the bishop inserted in a large one of stouter paper, which he carefully sealed, and on which he wrote to be placed in the cash box and to be opened by Mother Prioress on January 16, 1911. It was a simple act of devotion by which he intended to obtain the blessing of the servant of God on himself and his diocese. No miracle was asked. His lordship knew that several of the community were anxious to have their poverty-stricken chapel decorated. 300 lire was needed for this, and Mother Carmela had opposed the project, but she had finally consented to give a novena to the little flower. His lordship intended to give them a pleasant surprise. He forwarded his envelope about the end of December, and on January 16 he himself arrived at the Carmel for the purpose of giving a retreat. He was informed that his letter was still in the cash box. Mother Carmela now took it out, and she was told to open it, and the bishop watching her narrowly as she did so. She passed her finger under the upper flap, thus leaving the seal intact, and then handed him the envelope with the remark, "My lord, take what belongs to you." His lordship found, to his amazement, that in addition to the smaller envelope he had placed inside, there were 4 banknotes, 2 of 100 lire and 2 of 50 lire. His own note of 500 lire lay still untouched in the inner envelope. "The money is yours, my lord," said the Mother Prioress, "but please count it. If there are 300 lire, might it not be the sum which the community has been so confidently asking from Sister Therese? If you wish, I shall call the sisters that you may give it to them yourself." This was done, but not before his lordship had exchanged one of the new notes, which emitted a perfume of roses, for another of the same value. He also scrutinized closely the seal. It was unbroken. Mother Carmela confessed to noticing some days previously that the envelope had increased in bulk, and told the bishop of her presentiment that their heavenly benefactress had heard the sisters' prayers. He replied, however, that he saw a higher purpose in the miracle, the confirmation, namely, of the saint's remark, "My way is a sure one," and he showed the astonished prioress the contents of the inner envelope, the note of 500 francs, and his visiting card with its inscription. Some time after, Monsignor Muller of Gallipoli held a strict canonical investigation into the whole matter, the result of which was to be placed beyond question the intervention of the little flower of Jesus. The above account is drawn from the Articles for the Cause of Beatification, 2nd edition, July 1911. It may fittingly be supplemented by the following narratives.